Let's turn to John chapter 4. In John 4, we have a passage that draws together some of the truths that we've been discovering about God in the last few weeks, as well as a very particular call to us. So we'll read John chapter 4, beginning in verse 1 and read through verse 26. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. But he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water, springing up into everlasting life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have well said, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I, who speak to you, am he." Well, today we want to focus on verses 23 and 24 here in this place. But you know this story and you know it well, this woman who comes to know Jesus Christ here by the well. And her question when she perceives that he's a prophet is, where do we worship? She was, of course, locked in the mentality of mortal man. There must be a place that we need to worship. And Jesus, in answering her question, doesn't so much answer whether we should worship at Gerizim, there where near the area where they were when they were speaking, or in Jerusalem. But he transcends that, doesn't he, by saying there's an hour that's coming. It's very close at hand when Jesus would go to the cross, do his work, and be raised, and that the Father would be seeking worshipers in that hour, worshipers who would worship in spirit and in truth. And for all of you here today, you know the gospel, But I want you to look again at verse 23 and to see what it is that's on the heart of the Father as we come to Him and as you consider your relationship with Him. Look at verse 23 again. Jesus says, "But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him." Father is seeking such to worship Him. Let's look first of all at who is the one that's doing this seeking. This seeking is being done, of course, by the Father. The Father sent the Son into this world in order to redeem people to Himself. But Jesus is emphasizing here that when we come to worship, we come to worship the Father. And He is the one who is about this work of seeking His worshipers, seeking people just like you. And we see here the personal nature of the Father, don't we? He's one who's bidding worshipers to come. When we come to worship, we don't simply come to a place, a building with four walls and a roof. We come to worship the Father. We come to worship one who is knowable and has revealed Himself. And our hearts ought to be filled with a desire to worship as we consider the character of the Father who is in heaven. Now, you know that in his later years, Ronald Reagan suffered from Alzheimer's and for 10 years was out of the public view. And after his passing, his son Michael told the story of how he would go regularly to visit his father. He would park in front of the house. He would go in and spend a bit of time with his father. His father didn't even know who he was at that point. And he would always close those meetings by giving his father a hug and telling him that he loved him. And on one particular day, he walked out of the house, he walked back to his car, and just before he climbed in the car, he looked up and his father, who was still in relatively good physical health, had walked to the door, even though he didn't know his son's name. And he looked up and his father was there with his outstretched arms. And he realized at that moment that he had not hugged his father and told him he had loved him on that particular day. Now, do you suppose his response was, "Well, yeah, I guess he's my dad. I better go give him a hug because I owe it to him"? No. What did he do? He flew up those stairs and embraced his father and professed his love for him once again. He knew that that sort of love was due him because that was his father who had loved him long before he had ever loved his father. And in that particular case, his father had adopted him. So you see, it was a love that flowed from the heart. Now, in that illustration, we're talking about a man who had literally lost his mind due to Alzheimer's. And yet it was the character of his father that caused Michael to know that he owed him that love. How much greater then for our Father in heaven when we stop and begin to consider that He's our Maker. He's the one who has loved us to the point of redeeming us. How much more should we want to throw ourselves week by week into His arms to worship Him and to fall down and to praise Him? The Father is seeking such to worship Him in this kind of a way. So the question for you is, do you consider week by week this one that you come to worship? Do you consider the love that you owe to your Father who is in heaven as you come to worship Him? Well, what else do we see in this verse? We see that the Father is doing something here. He's seeking, isn't He? The Father is seeking worshipers. This is His intent, His desire, His purpose. It's not just a plea. It's not just an advertisement. It's not just a sales pitch trying to get people to come. But no, the Father is seeking those who would worship Him. This is a bit like what a man does when he is looking for a wife. He doesn't just throw out an advertisement to see who comes. No, in seeking a wife, he's going after one that he loves. One of His choosing. we had the privilege of celebrating our 10th anniversary this week and had many wonderful thoughts about what happened in those early days of our relationship together and the pleasure and the privilege of seeking out the one that I loved. Well, how much more the Father in seeking worshipers like you? It's not just that He gives you His word and drops it in His lap and says, you know, it'd be a good thing for you to come and to worship your Maker. No, He's actively seeking people. And how does He do it primarily? Well, the Bible doesn't say that God is seeking very many things, but we do see in the Gospels that He has sent His Son to do what? To seek and to save what was lost. This is what He did in history, isn't it? To seek at sinful people. This is a bit like Hosea seeking his wife Gomer back. You remember that he had married Gomer, and then Gomer had committed adultery, and she had run off, and Hosea had to go and purchase and redeem and seek her back again. This is what the Father has done for us, isn't it? In sending the Son, He has sought us out. And what kind of people is it that He comes to seek? Well, consider our story here. Who is this woman? She's a Samaritan, first of all. She's a woman. And how many times has she been married? Jesus notes here that she's had 5 husbands and she's with another man now who is not really her husband. Here's a woman who, by the world's standards, is a filthy woman. And yet, what is it that Jesus is doing? He's offering living water. This is the Father's design, right? To give those who are the worst of sinners the greatest of grace so that they might know Him. The Father has this intense desire, you see, to bring His people to Himself. But as you look once again at verse 23, you see that this is in the present tense. The Father is seeking such to worship Him. It's not simply an act in the past of sending His Son, but He's actively doing this today. And the question for you is, where do you stand? Have you responded to this Father in heaven who is seeking worship? His eyes are still looking. We see in 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9, that the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the whole earth, that He may strongly support those whose hearts are completely His. The Father is still looking. He's still seeking His elect. He's yearning for them that He might make them His worshipers. What about your heart? Are you that kind of worshiper before the Father, the kind that the Father yearns for and longs for in His great love?